As you know, last week we celebrated the 1 year since you called me to be your pastor. And so I've been thinking about all the months that led up to that, all the backstory that you might not know. Elaine Heber is both very hilarious and a little bit dangerous over email. I don't know if you know that. She was the chair of my call committee. But I also worked with Phil Spike, who is also hilarious and very attentive to detail. Phil and I were negotiating my package, my call agreement, as we do it, call it here in the church, my call agreement. So what am I going to be paid? What are my vacation days? What are the rules for my sabbatical in 5 or 6 years, whatever it is? And one of the things that, and it was a fantastically easy process because Iowa is so clear in how it handles clergy-church relations. But one of the things that I sent back to Phil was, I would like to be released from preaching at least one Sunday every month. Be here, but be released from preaching at least one Sunday every month, and for three reasons. One, it is hard to do 52 sermons every year, to come up with a fresh sermon illustration and have good energy and not feel like you're not just saying the same thing over and over again. Which is, number two, very boring for you. You need more voices. You need to hear more voices than mine. I need to hear more voices than mine. So I wanted to have room in place to make sure I could bring in more voices. But number three, and I think the most important, is that you need to learn how to preach too. Christians, people who are seeking Christ, people who think Jesus is a ride-on guy and are willing to come here, need to learn, as part of that faith journey, to express why. To say, what has it meant to me to listen to these stories, to pray in the name of Jesus, to be in this community? That's part of the Christian journey, is learning to do that. And so again, I wanted to create space to make sure you could start preaching too. Now, I didn't want to start doing that, you know, last August when I was fresh. I've been paying attention this last year to who seems engaged and comfortable up front, who's got strong understanding of their own faith, and maybe even the ability to talk about it in front of others. I did a small group book study about doing public confession and what that might look like in our church. And then a couple of weeks ago, our invitation and welcome team, that's kind of our evangelism and yay, you're here, let us love you up team, started talking about the importance that if you're going to invite people into your church, you need to say why. It's not enough to say, just come to Ames UCC. You just trust me, you want to be here. It's where the action is. Just come. Those things are true, but we also need to say why. Learn how to say why. And so they were talking amongst their team about, well, how do we train members of the church to talk about why they should go to church? And I said, well, maybe you should practice what you preach or what you want to teach. And you, as a team, should come up here and start modeling for the congregation preaching, explaining what the good news is like. And literally moments after I sent that pretty challenging email to that team, I got an email from Michael Johnson. So Michael's been in our congregation just about 3 years now. And Michael's moving back to Washington State next week, or later this week. And he said, I think for my last Sunday, I'm wondering, would it be okay if I preached? Yeah. He said, I want to preach. I want to talk about what being at Ames UCC has meant for me, what it has felt like to become a Christian through this congregation. And I said, great. Send me a draft, and oh, here's the scripture for today. And what he sent back was not only his faith testimony, but a genuine theological reflection on Paul's message about faith, hope, and love. Michael.
Thanks, Eileen, for that kind introduction. I didn't realize that I was helping you fulfill part of your agreement. And I definitely want to encourage others to do the same as I have. But really, I asked, like she said, because I wanted to have the opportunity. I know I've told some of you in person, you know, how much it's meant to be here. But I thought it'd be nice to share my gratitude and what I've learned from my time in the congregation and the gifts I've received. The first thing is the acceptance that I felt when I first came here. It was during a time of turmoil for the church and deciding or having or their pastor leave, and it was just a really welcoming place nonetheless. And the church has played, this congregation has played a really large role in opening my eyes to God, the love of God, and the love we can have for each other through that, and a lot of the positive things that Christianity has to offer. Unfortunately, a lot of my life has been spent without realizing what greater gifts are available from religions. My early memories consist of a string of events and evidence, and which led to logic that religion is actually contrary to love. One of the earliest is when I was an adolescent, being woken by my mom, her turning on the TV, and there's a burning tower on the TV. And then a second plane entered the second tower adjacent to the first one. And soon throughout the day, you know, I realized, and many others did, that this was intentional. Turned out to be religious extremists. And I myself, and I'm sure many other, wonder over and over again, how could a group of people founded in religion act out in such hate? And then later memories of lack of love in religion go back to the Christian groups fighting civil equality, claiming LGBT members of the community should not have the same rights as their more morally or commonly acceptable counterparts. And an extreme case of this that I saw and was just so sickened by was the Westboro Baptists holding picket signs at funeral processions of men and women who had died overseas fighting for our country. They were claiming that God was retaliating on us for us not acting more strictly towards gays and sinners. They were claiming that God killed America's sons and daughters because people like me were allowed to exist. Adding the historical wars that have been waged over war, together with what seemed to me to be an obvious use of religion to control our societies, I was really turned off. Still, the question remained, why were such strong feelings of hate coming from a religion? My modern understanding of science and history makes most of the basic stories of religions difficult for me to believe at face value. Some of them are really fun to hear about, but really difficult to believe. And I just wondered, how could one sect of believers' probably made-up story be superior than another group of believers' different story? It just seemed ludicrous that there would be so much animosity around this. And I feel like the time spent in these walls have helped me, I guess, not receive an answer to why there's so much hate, but at least an answer as to what is to be done about it. And it's been in the response to how I've opened my heart in the time spent here, and how much you have opened your hearts to me when you opened your doors. And also, little did I know that such a solid answer was embedded in Paul's writing presented in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Simply put, love. That we may think we understand Scripture, and we may think that we know what the holy thing is to do, and we may think that we speak in divine tongue, but without love and charity, we have nothing. Little did I know that embedded in this often manipulated and misconstrued holy text was the simple answer that without love, we act in misguided efforts, even if we think we're coming from a holy place. I'd like to take a minor diversion to share my experiences from Easter this year. Without really knowing the origin of my motivation, I took extra time to contemplate the story of Jesus' crucifixion, to understand better what the statement of Jesus had died for our sins so we don't have to be judged for them really meant. It's pretty baffling still, but from Monday, Thursday to the end of Easter Sunday, I went to a total of 5 church services and spent over 5 hours in the silent prayer vigil. Not all at once, you know, hour and a half here, hour and a half there, brought a friend with me to a couple of them. But my journal entry from the first day in the prayer vigil after the noon, but before the 5:30 p.m. Good Friday service, This journal entry highlights what a big step it was for me. It begins, "How did I get here in this church and in this prayer vigil? It's sort of confusing. I'm not certain I believe in an actual higher power besides the one I constructed for myself in my head, let alone the divinity of Christ. How am I supposed to understand the importance of his sacrifice and rising?" I then continued with a bit of poetic humor as I try to enter into my journal entries. What kind of twist of faith inspired this? What kind of act of God could transform this non-believer into an avid churchgoer? Even further, someone who wants to know more about God and learn more about the story of Jesus, and also someone who wants to share that story with others. Obviously, something stuck. I've stuck. And for me, the reason why something stuck or I stuck is in today's reading. The love that I felt here, the love from the individuals and the congregation as a whole, and most importantly, the love of God that I've been beginning to experience more and more as time has gone on. And this love, as I'm sure everyone's experienced or strives to experience, I've heard from time to time, it's a hard thing to keep a hold of. It's a great love, and I've been learning more about this and how it can fill up my cup so it can overflow to others. Whether you're able to see my dance that I had choreographed and performed again on Palm Sunday, I wanted to share a bit about its origin. It wasn't mentioned that I had also written that song and worked with the chorus, and we added some Latin lines from traditional songs. But I had wondered, it came to me over just a short few minutes, like it was just there. And I was on a nature walk with friends, we were around water. And so I wondered, you know, how did it come to me? Was it me, or was it divinely inspired? My logical science brain says that it's just a combination of all these hymns I've been singing, and a folk song, and maybe a little bit of a slave song. After all, "Take me down to the water, wash away my sins" doesn't seem to be the most original religious lyrics ever. But so there's this hypothesis that it was just random firing of neurons, it just came to me, and it was, you know, all in my head. And the alternate hypothesis would be that it was divine inspiration, that it was granted to me from God in order to share my love of life and to share my love for you all with you all. I think this strikes a resemblance to what I tried to allude to in my journal entry, whether the higher power I felt was real or not, or just constructed in my head. And through all of this, I think that I may never know the answer, and I don't know if I really need to know the answer to this, because when it comes down to it, all that really matters is the experience that I had and the appreciation that I feel for it, and what it's allowed me to do in the start of my journey in religion. I want to close this up with saying again how grateful I am to have had the opportunity to spend so many Sundays here since I came to Ames 3 years ago. I really appreciate the love and acceptance that I felt from all of you, and appreciate the time to be able to share that with you. And I hope that you guys can continue years forward to influence newcomers like me who don't know exactly what they're looking for, but can find a place within your walls. Thank you very much.
This morning before worship, we had God Talk, which is our monthly theological free-for-all, and we were trying to decide, what does faith mean? Where does faith come from? Is it just something we manufacture as we train our children in our religion? Isn't religion really the big problem? We cover everything during God Talk. But as I listen to Michael and I think about faith, hope, and love, I realize that our faith will often grow thin and be tested. At times, hope is just a word that we never expect to feel again. But love, Love is the life-saving action, emotion, and reality that we encounter every time we come here together by choice to see friends and strangers alike and simply treat them with kindness, ask them how their day was, and allow to be asked ourselves. Love asks terrible things of us some days. Love asks us to say goodbye to someone who is dying of cancer. Love asks us to be patient with our children when they become people that we don't recognize. Love asks us to sometimes sit in a different pew in worship just so that we can make room for a newcomer. But love is the power of God. And it is love that we will continue to know Michael in. And it is in love that he will continue to be part of our congregation and we part of his. Amen.